We praise you that every good and every perfect gift comes from you. And every word of God, everything that you've put down in the word for us is pure, it's good, it's helpful for correction, for edification. And so let us continue to worship by inclining our ears and our hearts to receive this word for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The healing hand. I'm going to continue to talk in terms of healing as we come to the end of this year. And perhaps this is why, because the Lord has kind of tucked the word healing into my heart about a month ago, and we've had messages, the Balm of Gilead 3 weeks ago, healing habits over the next 2 weeks, and then today, the healing hand. God intends to heal. And I'm believing for some healing, some radical healings. I'm believing for spiritual, which is most important, relational, internal, soulish things, and for physical healings. I'm believing for physical healings so that when that happens, that person can testify and give glory to God and can speak into their world that God has healed me. And so I hope that you will agree with me and that we could even have some healings happen today. Because God is more than able to heal instantly and to bring transformation in all areas, including the body. So I want to talk today about that healing hand of God, how God reaches into humanity. And of course, here we are at the Christmas season. And when we think of Christmas, we think maybe a very passive and soft side, because you got a little baby and he comes into the world. And of course, what do you think the most popular Christmas song is by far? I don't want to start an argument here either. But there's one that starts with an S, Silent Night. And so it conveys a very soft, passive, you know, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. And I understand that. But I wonder if it's the exact opposite from heaven's perspective. That is Christmas the just genteel, and you've got this kind of setting where everything's just kind of poised and in a rest state, and even the animals, you know, there's no movement, everything's just statutory, obviously statues. So is it really that, or was it clumsy? Was it inconvenient? Was it makeshift? Was it not a pleasant experience? I mean, obviously there's pain in the birth for Mary, so right away we know that the whole thing wasn't pleasant. But then when you're not in your own house, how many people are homebodies here? So when you're not at your own house, even if it's a luxurious condition, for me, I'd rather be in my own home. I'd rather be in my own bed any day of the week. And so they're not at their own house. They're in a place. We don't know exactly inside, outside. But we do know it's kind of, let's just use what we got around us to get through this, what we know as a glorious event. It was a glorious event, and I don't want to take away from it. But I wonder if instead of just the passive way and the soft, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, if Christmas is much more of a radical, aggressive, harsh occurrence. Here we have Jesus coming into the world. He leaves his Father and that glory. And in some mystery, there's a diminishing of that. and he's sent into the world. And so we have this radical intervention of light into darkness. Think about it from the angelic perspective, the holy angels and the demons. Christ coming into the world was like a lightning bolt that hit, and the demons are like, what just happened? Jesus comes in, and it's a very active, aggressive, almost like invasive activity. Yeah, he's a baby, but this means war. This is a game changer. Nothing will ever be the same. Or we could see it as a radical, aggressive intervention of life overcoming death. This was a death realm. It's a valley overshadowed by death. Everything dies. It's a decaying realm. And all of a sudden, something that will not die, of his own, because of sin, that is, he'll give up the ghost. But radically, life comes into a death zone. And it like just ripples across. Or we could think of it as a hand reaching down. This work of a healing hand that comes into a world that is in dire need of healing. And I was thinking about this contrast between the passive and the aggressive. I thought about healing and life and thought of it in terms of CPR. So what is CPR? It's cardiopulmonary resuscitation. I double-checked with Dr. Joe, so I don't say the whole thing often. And that is a radical, aggressive, life-saving technique, to say the least. And could it be that the whole Christmas experience and even the whole life of Christ, which the Father saw at once, see, from the Father's perspective, it was like exhale, inhale. He breathes Christ into Mary's womb through the Holy Spirit. Spirit means breath, by the way. Exhale. And then Jesus says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Comes right back. From God's perspective, it's like one radical intervention, an aggressive technique in order to help a dying race. And when you think about CPR, I mean, that is just a harsh thing. It's harsh on the one receiving it. I mean, how many people when they receive CPR, their ribs get broken in that situation? And then it's also risky to the one giving it, because if they do it wrong, they can hurt their wrist or ligaments, or the one they're administering it to can cough up blood, and there can be that disease can be transferred in some way, germs or whatever. And so it is a totally aggressive situation. That's like Jesus. Jesus is also the CPR to the human race. Christ, presence revealed. Christ, C, presence, P, revealed, R. When God's CPR came into the world, it broke the hand of God. Because upon Jesus was laid the sins of us all, and he was crushed for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Or perhaps think of it like this, a person's drowning. And when a person's drowning, you got to go into red alert, and you got to go, and you may even have to get aggressive. You might even have to incapacitate that person because they're in their death throes in order to get them back to land and get them out of that situation. And that's like God. He sent his hand. The Bible says concerning the Exodus generation, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, he brought them out of Egypt. And you can find that at least 9 times in the Old Testament, that very same phrase. Well, with this outstretched hand, Jesus Christ, Merry Christmas, everybody. Outstretched hand, he comes in and he grabs a hold of the wavering, flailing, desperately dying human race. And he gives them a hand up, if you will. He lays a hold of them in order to bring life, and that abundantly. And so let's consider these verses today, these lead verses, and continue to think about Jesus, God's healing hand, that mighty hand and that outstretched arm. Jesus Christ, the hands of God that came to lay a hold of the human race. Psalm 107:20, God sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. What a perfect way of understanding the human race when we connect it with the next verse. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have humanity heading towards destruction, and then we have the word. Now notice in the verse there, John 1:14, the word is capitalized, capital W. And that's John's way of describing Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the statement of God into the human race. Jesus is the express image, the embodiment, and the fullness of deity sent to humanity. And really, we could think of John 1:14. I mean, when you think about the Christmas account, the full narrative is in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. But you could also see this as a condensed version of the Christmas narrative. The Word became flesh. Jesus comes. He's born into the world. And he dwelt among us for some 33 years. He dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. John and the disciples, they beheld the glory of Jesus Christ. Glory as of the only Son. That is the only begotten Son. The only one born of God from the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. The law came from Moses, and the law had the expectation that you had to perfectly fulfill it, or you would never measure up to God. You would not be accepted. The law came from Moses, but the antidote, grace and truth, came from Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled that law, and he lived perfectly and was thereby acceptable. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he becomes the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Now there's a whole group of us that have been begotten, become the begotten of God, or been born again because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so I like John 1:14. If you really wanted to simplify the Christmas narrative, there you go. He came down, he became one of us, he was glorious, and did great works of grace and truth. So let's consider this great outstretched arm, further consider the outstretched arm that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 63:5, this is prophetically looking forward. And there's a problem here. And God he acknowledges the problem, and then he puts forward the solution, which we know as Jesus Christ. Isaiah 63:5, I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me salvation, and my wrath upheld me. How many of you have the personality type that if you want something done right, you're going to do it yourself? And it's like it's a labor to you to try to help or to instruct somebody else, here's how you do it. Because in like a tenth of the time, you could do it yourself and do it right, by the way. So now I'm like that, and I'm being lazy. I'm also doing a disservice to others by not allowing them to learn and grow. But here, this is God's issue, really. There is no help in humanity. There's none righteous, not even one. Not one of those people. There's no humanistic solution to the problem of the human race. Now, as hard as we try, and really the base religion or the natural religion of humanity is humanism, because we look to ourselves away from God. But when God saw, he just said, you know what? There's problems there, and there's no help coming from them. So what does God do? I'll do it myself. Isaiah 63:5, so my own arm brought salvation. Remember that mighty hand and that outstretched arm that brought out the Exodus generation. I reached down. My own arm is going to solve this issue. And my wrath upheld me. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah 65, verse number 3. Jesus Christ brought about salvation, and he endured the wrath of God. The wrath of God was upon him because the sin of the world was laid upon him. And so what does Jesus do? He satisfies wrath so that I don't have to experience, so no one has to experience the wrath of God. Now, people will if they don't receive the gift, but he satisfies wrath and he brings about salvation. Now, in Acts chapter 10, as we continue to glorify Jesus up front here in the message, Peter, one of his closest friends, summed up his work. Looking back, here's what Peter had to say about Jesus as God's outstretched arm and his healing hand. Acts 10:36, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ was this anomalous interruption. It would no longer be business as usual. Everywhere he went, he was making waves. And again, thinking from the perspective of angels and demons, the demons were like, man, wherever this guy goes, there's going to be trouble. He's like bringing light where there's darkness, light, life where there's death. All he did during his life was he went about doing good, and he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. The main malady of the human race is the sin issue, and then the pile-on oppression by the devil and his demons. And what did Jesus Christ come? He came and he forgave sin, and he reversed the curse. He freed those who were oppressed by the devil. How glorious is that? Luke 11:20 through 22. Jesus speaking of himself and characterizing his ministry. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when a stronger one than him Then he attacks him and overcomes him. He takes away his armor in which he trusted and divided his spoil. This is such a powerful picture as Jesus explains his ministry. Here's what Jesus came to do. Jesus Christ is the finger of God. He is the mighty hand, the healing hand. He's the outstretched arm. And God was moving through him, casting out demons. And by the way, demonic possession was not just a phenomenon of the first century. Demonic possession continues, and it runs rampant. Demons are looking for hosts. They can't express themselves because they're immaterial. So they look for vessels to A, oppress, and B, to possess. And they, unfortunately, they are alive and well. And they have made great strides, particularly in these last days. The human race has not gotten better since the first century. And however, the finger of God, the healing hand of God, the outstretched arm of God also is in this world. And it's Jesus through the Holy Spirit working through his church. And Jesus describes the world, in my opinion, in verses 21 and 22. Satan is a strong man. He's a force to be contended with, okay? And he's very defensive. He's very possessive. Satan does not allow for choice. Satan is a fascist. He's like a selfish child in some respects. It's his way or the highway. And he guards his own palace. He protects his own goods. He maintains systems of evil and wickedness to keep his puppets duped, because he doesn't want them getting wind of his ways. And he certainly doesn't want any opposition or competition. Verse 22, though, thanks be to God, but when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him. You see, this is Jesus Christ. The stronger one came into the world and began to despoil the devil. When one stronger than he attacks, see, Christmas is like the launch of an aggressive attack. Satan had the world bound up for millennia. People possessed, people oppressed. I mean, just think about, for instance, the poor woman that had this disabling spirit. I think it was for like 30 years or something. The Bible says that she had a disabling spirit. This is what demons love to do. They're all about oppressing and hurting, and that's their entertainment. That's their blood sport. And yet Jesus came, and one touch from him, and that demon had to flee. And that woman was set free. And this is what, I mean, that's just one little, that's a microcosm of what the whole world is, oppressed by the devil and his minions. But we need not fear, because one stronger entered the world. The Christmas launch, this little baby, is like, this is a retaliatory strike. And he comes in, and he's stronger. And Satan cannot destroy, Satan cannot defeat him, as hard as he tries. And now that is the church. The church is God's outstretched arm. We're the fingers of God. We're the hands of God. We're the extension of God. We're the stronger one. That's why we understand that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We need not fear Satan or demons. Instead, Satan is nervous and very concerned, very disconcerted, when people are standing hand in hand with God. Because if God is for us, who could be against us? And so thinking about Jesus and the wonderful picture of the Christmas launch, if you will, and the full work of Christ, the exhale and inhale, and how he went about doing good, how his mission was not just to root down and to experience the Jerusalem dream, but it's, you know, like the American dream, but he went about to do his Father's good purpose and to cut through all the craziness and to make hell nervous. And of course, he gave his life. He surrendered. He yielded his spirit. And then he was able to raise himself back up. The one that gave his spirit was able to bring it back. And of course, you know, that sent a whole new realm, a whole new wave of fear into the realm of hell, having taken the keys of death and hell. Now people don't even need to be afraid of death because of Jesus. So thinking about Jesus, now consider us. We are the ones that are to be hand in hand with God, to be walking with him and talking with him, to be relating to him, and to know that we have the authority. We are the stronger ones. As we're in Christ, we go forth and we bring light where there's darkness. We bring life where there's death. We make demons nervous. We make them fear and tremble. In Acts 4, verses 29 through 31, the church, the early church, was starting to make these parallels. and to understand that as Jesus went forth, so now we are the body of Christ. We are God's hands extended into a crooked and perverse generation. And here we have, after there was opposition, because of course darkness is always going to oppose light, and with this initial opposition in the church, they got together and they prayed. There had been persecution, there had been threats, and so the early church comes together in Acts 4, verses 29 to 31, and they're crying out to God. Now hear their prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats, or the present darkness we're contending with, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, they already were filled with the Holy Spirit, so this is a stirring of the Spirit that abided within, of course. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God with boldness. Now, listen, friends, this is vital. In these times that we find ourselves in, with much threatening, Satan knows that his time is short, and he's gone forth of great rage. He doesn't have to exert much energy or resources towards a world that's already in his vice grip control, okay? So he's aggressively going after the church, the people of God. Now, he realizes there's a lot of strength on our side, but he wants to wear us down. He wants us to buy into to lies and to allow strongholds to begin to build in our hearts and minds so that we don't realize the power and authority. We don't realize just how strong we are because God is working in us to exert such strength. And so these threats continue, and it is not for us to retreat. It is not for us to try to find some humanistic solution. We'll show them in 2024. We'll reclaim this country. All this humanistic type of stuff. It's none of that. God wants us to know who we are and to pray to him today, Lord, just like you sent your word and you healed, you sent the word that became flesh and he went about doing good. He went about healing all those who were under oppression. Lord, that is our lot. That is our life. And so consider their threats, and instead of retreating, help us, Lord, to speak your word with boldness. I mean, that's one thing that they could not deny. When the early church was being attacked, whether it was Peter or John or Paul, you know, even with Peter and John, these are unlearned men. But it shocked them with how bold they were and how they just had this confidence, this otherworldly confidence, which, of course, it's of heaven. Well, we're not to retreat or just go into full protection mode and we'll just kind of wait it out. But we're actually to be the ones speaking the word with boldness, because it's the word of God that brings freedom. It's still the same today as it was when Jesus said it. It's truth that sets people free. And to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the word of God. Like when I presented the gospel earlier today, there's power that goes forth of that truth, and there's no telling what dynamic is happening as God's Spirit transmits that truth to break through lies, to break through deception. People don't think they're good enough, or they're ashamed, or I got to wait till I get good enough. And God's truth goes forth. No, it's a gift. And true faith is the embrace of God's grace. Lay a hold of what God has to give you. Well, God wants us to speak the word, and they're praying that Lord, we're not going to go passive. We're not going to go quiet. We're not going to, you know, get litigation and fight this in human terms. Now, there might be times for those things, so don't get me wrong. But natural things will not solve natural problems. It takes a spiritual solution. It takes Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about true healing and true solutions to all the dilemmas we find in this world. Grant to us, your servants, that we would speak the word with all boldness. And look at this in verse 30. And I would take these together. While you, see, they correspond, they're connected. We speak the word, you stretch your hand to heal. God sent his word, Psalm 107:20. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We speak the word, we speak of Jesus. We testify of Jesus. We don't testify of ourselves. We testify of Jesus and what he's done for us. Everything's about Jesus, always pointing to Jesus. We speak the word, and what happens? The Holy Spirit stretches out his hand to heal. I mean, I've given messages before, and someone will come and say, man, that spoke directly to this situation in my life. And I'm thinking, you know, how in the world could they have gotten that out of what I said? Well, the thing is, there's this transaction happening. I don't mean to sound superstitious or fuzzy. There is a brain involved. There is that level of understanding. But when you're speaking on behalf of God, when you're speaking the word boldly, when you're speaking it to your family at Christmas gatherings, when you're sending out texts of life with scriptures, and that goes forth, there is the opportunity for God to correspondingly stretch his hand through a vessel and bring about healing. It might be radical. It might be like CPR. It might be like boom, boom, and you don't hear from that person. You might think, man, I hope I didn't offend them. Well, it is a little offensive when you get this. Might even break a rib. Might even hurt your hand in the meantime. But God stretches forth his hand. There's cooperation going on. And what happens? Signs and wonders. Look at verse 30. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Now, often we reduce in a one-dimensional way signs and wonders to physical healings. And I love physical healings. Don't get me wrong. I'll be praying for that a little bit later. But signs and wonders are much more than the blind seeing and the deaf hearing. See, those things are short-lived. Eventually, those eyes will give out and those ears will no longer hear. But a true sign and wonder is a transformed life. It's somebody that is brought out of darkness, that is aggressively brought out of darkness. You know, what does the Bible say? The kingdom of God allows violence and the violent take it by force. Not much passive about that. When one believes, they are aggressively brought, extracted out of a darkened realm. And Satan is very upset because he does not brook competition. He's a fascist. He wants to keep his own. And they're brought into the kingdom of light. Brothers and sisters, pray this prayer. I prayed this today. I'm there praying as I'm seated at one point today. Lord, grant me that I can speak your word boldly today. That is, you're stretching forth your hand to heal. You're touching people right where they're at. And the signs and wonders that will follow, whether we see the signs and wonders is not relevant. That's for you, God, to do your supernatural work and to change lives, to bring about your glory, to bring light where there's darkness, to bring life where there's death. And we are to go hand in hand with God. As Jesus went forth, so we go forth. The steps he stepped and walked, we are to walk in the same manner. Now, they prayed this prayer, and they prayed to preach and to be God's hand to bring forth healing. And in Acts 11:21, we see there's a fulfillment of their prayer just a little bit later in Acts. Look what it says here in Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord. Can you say hand, by the way? The healing hand of God. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. I believe that is the greatest healing possible. When people who were steeped in darkness believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a sign of wonder. What else do you really want? Anything else is just a bonus. That's the true necessity. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 40, he referred to people being turned that they might be healed. Look at the word turned in Acts 11, 21. God was with them, and those who believed turned. They repented. And this is the essence of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. God wanting to work in and through us. I pray all the time, Lord, speak to me and through me. Grant your servant that I might speak your word of boldness, your hand being extended, healing people's lives, healing marriages, healing in terms of deception, breaking through those things so that people can be truly free. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now I'm going to close out this message with some considerations to help us, and then we're going to pray. And I'm going to believe for healings today, and I'm going to believe for people to be coming forth and testifying at some point in the future that they were healed in a very significant way. But before we get to that, let's consider some other things. First of all, to really be open to God and to be that vessel, to be someone that is pliable, you know, that tool, if you will, for the handymen amongst us. You got your favorite tools. You're going to pick this one over that one for whatever reason. I want to be that tool. I want to be ready and open, be accessible, so that I can be that stretched hand, hand in hand with God, into a world that's hurting. Well, for me personally, one thing that helps me, because I'm not always in high gear, I'm not always super enthusiastic and zealous. I have low times. Do you have low times, by the way? Spirit's willing, but there's another side of us that isn't so willing. Here's what I need to do at times. This is like medicine for me. Hebrews 12 through 13. Sometimes my hands are drooping. Oh, yes, I want to be the hands extended, but I just rather just sit here and I'm just down for whatever reason. Discouraged. They still haven't changed. There's still the same old situation. I get tired. Look what it says here as the writer's writing to people who also are weary. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands. Strengthen those weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather, what's the word there? Healed. Sometimes I'm the one that needs healing. And one of the greatest ways for me is to lift up hands and praise God, to surrender to God. The medicinal value of praising God exceeds all other curatives. There's nothing quite like when a person whose hands are drooping, whose heart is down, they're weak, they don't even want to move. It's like, I just give up. All of a sudden, to like David, they spoke of stoning David after all their families were kidnapped. David as well, he's already down. They spoke of stoning him, but the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. The sweet psalmist of Israel that was continually venting vertically, he could vent complaints, no doubt, but he'd more often than not follow up with praise. But I know you're going to come through. The creator of the heaven and the earth, all-powerful one, you who have delivered me in the past, from the lion's paw and the bear's mouth, you're more than able to continue to deliver me. And to lift up those hands, sometimes you just got to get alone and literally lift up your hands and surrender to God. I praise you, come what may. This is a horrible situation that I'm going through. I'm being attacked. I don't even know what's afflicting me. It's like, why so downcast, O your soul? But put your hope in God. Lift up those drooping hands. Don't stay in that situation. You see what it says there in verse 13? Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame. If you stay there long enough, those muscles will get used to that posture of defeat. You got to exert yourself. You got to recondition the weakness and begin to strengthen it and allow that life, that vitality to come back. Learn to praise the Lord. And as you praise the Lord, what does this got to do with the healing hand? As you and I praise the Lord, then we're more encouraged to go forth and to be the extended hand of God. It's like physician, heal yourself. Well, if we're sickly and how can I go about doing this for others? Turn that around. Learn to praise Jesus Christ. That's why, in part, we start off with praise and worship, prayer and worship. It's because we might come in with drooping hands. And we might come in, it's like, oh, it just took everything just to get here. And I don't even know why I showed up. He's not doing anything for me. I might as well just, but you came this one more time. And then all of a sudden, you made a choice by faith to lift your heart, the drooping hands of the heart, maybe even your hands, to lift them to God. And that helped you. That brought forth a healing. So now you were better prepped to hear words of life and to have even more healing. Now, sometimes, that's personal issues. Sometimes our fatigue, our down times, we're depressed, whatever, is the result of other people. Has that ever happened to you, by the way? Any parents nodding like, yeah, yep. Or married couples, yeah, it's hard. I mean, I'm kind of down in myself, all right, but this person's wearing me down. Well, here's something for that. Mark chapter 8, verses 23-26. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. And he opened his eyes, his sight was recovered, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." What a powerful account. Let me bring some application, as the Holy Spirit would, to us. This blind guy was helpless, basically. He had to have people to bring him to Jesus. And so I could see them taking him by the hand, taking him by the arm, leading him about. And finally, here's this blind guy before Jesus. And so Jesus gets a hold of him and takes him out of the village. And so now there's this distance, there's this delay. And they may not see the immediate deliverance. We don't know here. But I like the progressive nature of it. Jesus does this strange form of healing, and we could make much of the symbolism, but I'll move along. And at first, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I see people look like trees. And it's not like Jesus said, oh, man, I messed up. Let me try again. This is for our purposes. The Holy Spirit has messages embedded through these narratives for us. And he lays his hand on his eyes again, and now he's restored. And I wonder how often this is the case for us. We have people in our lives that's like, man, they are so blind. They're so blind and ignorant and even foolish. It's scary. And we try our best to bring that wayward child or that coworker. We try our best and we try to bring them to Jesus. And you know, the best thing we could do at times is to learn to hand people off, to not keep a hold of them, to not allow them and their blindness and perhaps their waywardness, their foolishness, or their stubbornness, to not allow them to consume us, but to learn to cast that care, that person, off to God. I'm not going to be their healing, okay? And that's right. I've spoken the truth, but as far as the stretching forth the hand to heal, I haven't seen that happen yet. And to learn to hand off those people to God. Handing off. We're in football season. How important is it for a quarterback to be able to hand off? They don't know how to hand off and fumbles happen. Learn it, but we want to control things. Oh, I've got to be part of the mix. Yeah. But you also got to learn how to hand something off to God. And to learn to relax that, Jesus, I hand this person off to you, and she or he is no longer my problem. They're your problem. That's a tough thing to do, is it not? It takes a lot of time to get to that point, probably longer than it should have. And then to see some progress, perhaps, but they're not there yet. Yeah, there seems to be some movement. There seems to be some direction. But what do you mean you see people like trees? God's not done. Just because we don't see everything at once doesn't mean that the good end is not going to happen. And to learn to commit that unsaved parent, to learn to commit that situation, that I can't resolve this, Lord. Well, it's a good thing you've come to that revelation. Hand it off to me. Cast the care. You know the word for care or to cast? We all know the verse, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. The word for cast means to throw or to hurl, speaking of football. So to be a good quarterback, I've done so much, Lord, but I hand off and I'm learning how to cast this care, to hurl this ball through the air. Hail Mary. Cast this care to you. That didn't go well. For he cares for you. And to release. Maybe the Lord is wanting to set somebody free today. That it's stopping up the well of life. You've got this person, a child, a parent. You know, there can even come a point, like with an aged parent that's infirmed, that you've got to release to the Lord. You've got to just surrender them. I remember way back when I was in Michigan, way back, 20 or so years ago, right? 20. And my grandma was infirmed, Christian, believer, but she had so many issues. And I was trying to help at some point, and the word from my father, her son, was, you are done. You are no longer to be part of this, because it was just beyond my ability. And, you know, some people, as they get older, they become more like children, and they grasp, and they're clingy. And I had to hand her off to the Lord. And the Lord eventually took her unto himself, and she's in glory, and I look forward to seeing her. But it might be an infirm parent that you just have to learn how to hand them off to Jesus. Or a spouse. Oh, she's never going to change. He's never going to change. Here I thought there was some progress, and now we're at the foot of the mountain. You know, just because some things don't get done as we like doesn't mean it's like back to point A. Oh, you haven't changed at all. Well, actually, they're just seeing people like trees right now. Allow the Lord to continue his work. We always like the instantaneous, but perhaps he's doing a progressive work, which is more often than not the case. If you would be a healer, you've got to understand, like a wise physician, like a doctor, that this is going to be a process of treatment, not an event. Of course, we all come in, we want an event. Give me the quick cure, the quick fix. But more often than not, this is going to take some time. You're going to have setbacks, but hand off. We can hand off to our great physician. He is able to work and to do in his time and in his way to bring about resolution. Finally, for today, the highest act of faith involves not those that we would hand off, but ultimately our own souls. In Luke 23:46, we see the greatest act of faith in all of human history to date by, of course, one Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your," what's our wonderful word there, by the way, "hands, I commit my spirit." I mean, most of us have a hard time just falling backwards into someone's arms. Who cannot do that, by the way? You absolutely cannot do that. Well, here, I release my spirit into your hands, and he breathed his last. The one that he walked with hand in hand, he abandoned himself. He handed himself off to God. And the Lord also wants us, as we walk hand in hand with him, "Lord, I just commit my spirit." I pray that to God, by the way. "Into your hands I commit my spirit. If this is my dying day, so be it. I release. And I know that you will not abandon me." Christ knew that his Father would not abandon his soul to Sheol. And he came back. And in the same manner, all of his people were not just abandoned to oblivion or to a dark place. Now, if you're not saved, your destiny is darkness. But if you're saved, you can commit your life, and even death becomes a friend of sorts. Even death loses its sting. The grave loses its victory because of Jesus Christ. And so I just pray, and I don't know the logical connections of all those considerations, but I pray the anointing that's upon the word would bring forth healing into our hearts, and to be confident to walk with God, and then to be his hand, his healing power into this world. And so I want to pray today, and so why don't we stand, and I'm going to transition. Just believe for God to work his work, to do what only he can do. Stretch forth his hand and heal. The words have gone forth. Now that he would stretch forth his hand and heal, there would be signs and wonders. There would be testimonies to be heard in due season. Father, I just ask for my brothers and sisters today, and I pray for a receptivity to the prayer of faith, to a prayer for healing, in particular, Lord, for chronic issues, perhaps some things that have not been handed off, perhaps issues of the body, that we as a church are going to agree with your perfect will, Lord, that healing is imminent. Healing is for the taking. If it's progressive, we leave that to you. But Lord, we don't want to in any way do you disrespect by not praying by faith and believing that we can see your goodness even in the land of the living. Let it be, O Lord. Today, if you want us as a church to pray for you, it's going to be simply coming down here and standing across here. But you do have some issues, internal, soulish issues. You need a breakthrough. You're not waiting for 2021. You say, I need a breakthrough now. And you just want to believe. You just want to even stretch those hands forward and believe Jesus for a healing of your broken heart, a healing of your constant resentment and unforgiveness, a healing for your marriage if you need to come down as a couple, a healing for that prodigal that's out there. And by prayer, you bring them to the Lord. You bring them to the Lord. But now you need to hand them off to God and to have peace. To let him heal your heart with some peace. A healing in your body. Wherever you're at, just come on down right now. So, and stand across here. The rest of the church, we're going to be stretching forth our hand towards our brothers and sisters. But there's healing there's healing for the taking. And I've been praying for those that I know about your chronic issues. And as a church, we should be praying for those that we know of that have ongoing issues. I don't see Judy Fairley in here. Judy is the leader over our children's church. And what a great ministry. What a great service, is it not? She's had an issue in her ear for, I think, like 3 or 4 weeks now, where she always hears her heartbeat. It's a very rare condition. Now, isn't that miserable? So we're also going to be praying, because I think she's back there serving. We're going to be praying for her as well. And I'm believing for healing, in particular for the body. The last 2 weeks of the men's Bible study, I've had the guys pray in agreement that there would be physical healings in our body. I think Akira's back. Physical healings in our body. We got Steve's shoulder, Denise's back. Who needs a physical healing? Why don't you raise both hands? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we as a church agree with your perfect will and your perfect word that you are able to stretch forth your hand into these vessels. These are temples of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we would desire not only for their good, but also for the bolstering of faith of many, for the unsaved, to see, to understand, and to realize that you're the God who's real and the God who heals. I pray, Lord God, for healing in these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Your word has gone forth. Stretch forth your hand to heal your children in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, God, for a turning around. I ask, Lord, you rebuke the devil that any lies and any guilting that he does as though they're not worthy of healing, Lord, I pray you'd rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and that you would do your work in these precious ones, Lord. And I ask, Lord God, for the other areas of healing. Lord, if there's some here today that they, for their own sake, for their own sanity's sake and their own peace, they need to hand off somebody to you. I just pray for release. I pray for a Sabbath release, a sabbatical for them, that they would release this child, release a spouse, release a brother or a sister, a parent, that they would hand them off to you. They'd cast that care to you, Lord, for you care for them and the one, Lord, that they need to release. And so I pray, God, as they go out today, they go out with joy. They go out, that burden has been relieved, that you are no longer to take care of that. I'll take it from here. Jesus, help my brothers and sisters today. I pray for healing over marriages, Lord, where there are ongoing toxic conditions. I ask, Lord, that you would go and you would do a work. Even a painful work, Lord God, you'd resuscitate. You'd revive that marriage in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand, Lord, as a church family. Let's pray this now. As a church family, Lord, we pray this together. Oh, Lord God, consider the threats. And may your servants, grant your servants to speak your word boldly. And that you will stretch forth your hand to heal. Signs and wonders will accompany that. And all glory to you. It's for your kingdom. It's not for us to feel good about ourselves. It's not for our church to grow in numbers or anything. All about you getting the glory and your kingdom getting profit. All praise to you. We thank you, Lord God, for this day of deliverance. We thank you for perhaps another way of seeing Christmas. And may we continue, Lord, to reflect upon this and to speak of these wonderful things, these glad tidings, through this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings upon you.